You know, just because people are Baptist, that don't mean they go into heaven. I believe it's a little bit lower down than that. I don't believe everybody that's a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is going to go to heaven. I believe we have some lost people, and I don't know who they are, but I just believe in a fellowship with over 400 on our roll, or about that, in the past and in the future. You see, because if they depended on what they've done, walking down an aisle and being put on a church roll and being baptized, and a lot of people tell you that, maybe whenever they done all this. But guess because you do all that, it don't mean that you're saved. If it didn't take place in the heart, it won't do you no good to get wet. It's got to be a heart first. Well, there are two classes of people really here that Paul is talking about. Those, you know, it's sinners and they don't know it. Now, there's a lot of people that they're sinners and they don't know it. Now, that's the hardest type of people, you know, to witness to. Sinners and they just don't know it. I mean, they think they're good enough. They think they're self-righteous. And they're self-righteous. I'm just as good as those people down there in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. No, you don't have to. But I'm going to tell you, if someone's saved, you're going to want to. I'm just as good. Why? Because they feel like they're just as good. But you see, I'm waiting for someone to tell me I'm just as bad as those people down there at Pleasant Hill. Because that's the way they ought to answer it. Because there's none of us good. No, not one. Our righteousness filled the rag in God's sides. If there ain't good in us, it's what Christ, Jesus Christ, has put in us. And what we do in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that makes us good. Our righteousness, he says, are filthy rags. Maybe I'll get to that in just a moment if I have time. And then those people that really feel like they're too bad for God to save. I mean, they just out and out people, and they just don't believe God will forgive them for the life that they lived. Just don't believe God would forgive anybody for the low life maybe that they lived. But you see, there's nobody that God can't save, no matter what they've done, how they lived their life. And there's, you know, the problem is people that are too good. They're too good. I know that you probably have talked to people. I have a lot of times. And it's hard to find someone that says, you know, I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell, that I'm a sinner. Hard to find people that way. When I do, that's an easy person to witness to, because half the work is already over with. The Spirit of God has already showed that person that they are sinners. Most people don't realize. They think they're good enough. They don't really want to come to Jesus Christ because of their goodness. And, you know, without the Spirit of God showing you that, we all felt like that. Did you not? Did you feel like before you got saved that you was good enough to go to heaven? Before you got saved, some of you got saved at a young age. You don't remember back that far from your time of accountability. You stepped in there to salvation. You don't remember that. But I remember it real well. I didn't know the things that I know now. Most people in the United States, you know, what they strutting. As I know, they're strutting their way to hell. And it's hard to win them for the Lord. There's a lot of people. You know, hell is enlarging. You know what Jesus Christ said? He says, narrow is the gate, and few be that go in thereat. But he says, wide is that road. What's he talking about? He's talking about percentage of people in our world and percentage of people around us. More people are going to go to hell than they are going to go to heaven. You know, that ought to make us sad. You don't know that, what Christ said about that. If we could just look around our little communities and our families and our homes, and really the things that really counts in our life is people are saved. That's all that really matters. All these things that we bicker about, we think about, we work, put our energy in about our life, a home, and our church, really don't matter whenever life is over with. The things that matters is about Jesus Christ and that we're saved. But they just think, you know, they're just good enough to be saved. But it's hard to win someone to the Lord that's a good person. I know that I worked with some Mormons at the railroad for many years. And some of the best people that I know of that I'd ever met. Now, I was lost most of the time whenever I was around them. But they was the best moral person that I'd ever been around. I mean, they'd give you the shirt off their back. They was good, a family person. I mean, they was generous. They give all the time. They'd help you. Good fathers. A good family person. Good friends. Good neighbors. It's hard to witness to someone about Jesus Christ when they're morally good. But you see, that's the reason they was good. Because that's the way they thought that you go to heaven. By being all these moral, good people. And you try to witness one of them, and I have several times. I've never got anywhere. When they get indoctrinated that they believe because they look at Christian's life, that we saved, look at my life and your life, and you know what? They see some errors in our life. Y'all have any errors in your life? Faults and failures that people look at sometimes? Well, they look at our life and say, look at your life, look at my life. And most of the time, I'm telling you that because they believe so hardly that being good and being a good mother, good father, good sister, good brother, good person, that's the way they go to heaven. And it's so hard to witness to someone like that. But Paul warns them about this self-righteous or legalism because he said, you know, I come from all that, I can tell you. Legalism, he says, now really being good and doing all these works and things I can do cannot save you. Legalism cannot save you. The rituals I went through cannot save you. The religion that I had cannot save you. Now Paul opens up the book of his life and he shows the people, you know, what he had outside of Christ and what he has in Christ. Whenever Paul was doing this, his name was Saul at that time. He shows us that a bankrupt of the old man and then the wealth of the new man. And he goes through some things as an old man there in verse 4. And he's talking about the things in his life now about people thinking they're good. You know, we really think sometimes that we're good. Us Christians, we think that we're good. Have you ever heard somebody say that sorry so-and-so? Have you ever said that about someone? That person's sorry. Without Jesus Christ, what would people be saying about you this hour? I'm going to tell you, it was not my goodness. It's not your goodness that caused us to be here serving Christ this hour because of his goodness and his righteousness. Without Christ, where would I be? Paul says, Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'd have more. If you think you want to brag how good that you are, then all your goodness, and you run across people who think they're real good, if they think they want to brag, he says, I want to tell you what, I had more bragging rights of being a good person, good religious person, a good legalistic person. Ritual person. I had more than all these. Now, if you want to brag about your goodness, he said, bring it on. I'll show you. So Paul starts with, he says, now there's a pride of ritual that I had. Verse 5, he says, you know, circumcised the 8th day, the pride of ritual. That's a ritual they went through. He said, I went through that. My mother and my father, they carried me that. And I was circumcised the 8th day. That was a ritual. And they kept me from my childhood up as being religious. Now, religious, he found out, though, these rituals that he went through would not save them. As I said, you know, being a Baptist won't save you either. A lot of times we talk about people with a different type of denomination. I'm going to tell you, we got nothing to talk about in our own Baptist church about people not saved, whoever they are. You know, there's one thing about people saying they're saved, another thing that they are saved. Most people knows how to be saved, but just because you know how to be saved, that don't mean that you're saved. Make a statement now. I used to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. I used to believe that. I don't believe that no more. What'd you say, preacher? I used to believe that. The difference between then and now I know that he was the Son of God. Now I know he died on a cross for my sin. Now I know he rose again. Now I know he's back with the Father at the right hand. There's a difference in you saying believing with your head and knowing. I know Jesus Christ. But I know he rose again. And that same resurrection power, it said, that raised Jesus from the grave also will be there to raise me from the grave also. And that same Spirit that Jesus Christ went back to heaven and said, I'll send a comfort to you. That same Spirit that Jesus sent back to this earth is in me right now, and I know that. And that same Spirit, guess what? Whenever I die, if Christ don't come back, I'm going to wean my way to glory, because, see, the Holy Spirit of God came from glory and it knows how to go back to glory. Now, there's a lot of people believes that in their head, but see, I know it. And the difference between that is because it's going to make a difference in your life. Not that we be sinless, but Paul says we'll be blameless. And you start loving the things of God. And you start loving the people of God. And you start loving the house of God. And you start loving the Word of God. Because he makes a difference in knowing. He says, you know, the pride of rituals, but also it's a pride of relationship. He said, of the stock of Israel there in verse 5. Now he wants to tell you about his family tree, his good lineage that he came from the stock of Israel. You see, God didn't give the scriptures to us Gentiles. You just think about, if there hadn't been a missionary to change and go through the Word of God and put it in language we could understand, it would still be in Hebrew and Greek. God gave the Holy Scriptures to the Jews. He did not give it to the Gentiles. All the Holy Scriptures came through the Jews and the prophets. We did not have the Scriptures. But there was someone that God put it on their heart to change into Greek and Hebrew, into English language, that we can read and understand that we're sinners and we need to be saved. That's the reason we need Bibles sent to other countries. That's the reason we need Spanish Bibles. The same thing true to other nations of the world as it was to hear people that we speak English. Without someone doing this, it would just be like us today. Where would we be? How could I talk to you tonight about the Word of God if it was in Greek and Hebrew? I cannot speak Greek or Hebrew, and I can't speak English either. I've been a mess. But what I'm saying is, I could not be preaching to you. We'd have to have someone that understood Greek. But you see, it's been translated into English we may understand. He says, the stock of Israel. Man, I come from a long line of good stock. All through my family line, I was a Israelite. I'm a Jew. Man, I got something to brag about. If I could brag about that. He says, it didn't make me no closer to the Lord. You see, God has no grandchildren. See, God has no grandchildren. He has children, but you see, he has no grandchildren. In other words, you might be saved, and your wife might be saved, your husband might be saved, but it doesn't mean that your children are saved. Paul says, look at the stock that I come from the stock of Israel. I mean, people say, look, I've been in church all my life. My mother, my father, my dad was a preacher. My dad was a deacon, Sunday school teacher, brother, done all these things, and brought up in the church. But that don't mean you're saved. You can't brag about, you know, your lineage, because God has no grandchildren. Everybody, even your children, you see, they're going to have to understand that they're lost, and also that they need to be saved. They need to be saved. But the pride there of respectability, verse 5, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, he goes on. I'm going to brag a little bit more, Paul said. You think, I'm going to brag a little more. The tribe of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was the greatest tribe of the nation of Israel. It was a small tribe, but it was the greatest tribe. In fact, Israel, I could go on and tell you about the tribe of Benjamin and how great it was. Paul just could go on throughout the New Testament how he talked about the tribe of Benjamin, which he come from. That was the first tribe, you know, that the first king, Saul, come from, the tribe of Benjamin. You know, and there was the elite of the Jewish, the Israelite people. They had over 600 armed men. Most of them left-handed, could throw a rock and hit a hare. I mean, they bragged on them because they were so mighty in the Lord, this little small tribe called the Benjamites. They was great. He said, that's where I come from. But then he said, you know, the pride of race. Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says. There's no Gentile blood in me. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm above the Hebrews. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he can just brag about that. Paul learned a lesson that some people need to learn in our country. It's not the race, but the grace that saves us. As I have been to Mexico, and I could have been born in Mexico too. I could have been born. Now, you better be glad that you were born in the United States of America. because people need to hear the word of God no matter what race they are. And just because we are white people, and just because we've been born in the United States of America, that don't mean that we got a special right to God. God does not have a race of people. Black, white, yellow, blue, green, orange, it won't make no difference to God. He loves everybody the same. Every soul, no matter what it is, needs to hear the word of God and be saved. No matter what color the skin is, God has no race of people. He loves everybody. All core, of course, you know God's got his Jews. We know that. That's God's chosen people. Yes, he showed the world. He's working through the Jews. But he loves everybody. He loves you just as much as he does the Jews. Now, when we become the beloved of God is when we're saved. Now, God loves everybody, lost or saved. He loves everybody. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we become the beloved of the Lord. Then we become special to him. He loves you so very much. Paul says, you know, the pride of race, you know, Hebrew of the Hebrew, the pride of religion. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Now, y'all know what Pharisee was. There's Orthodox of the Jewish. I mean, they believed in strict, strict law, and they kept the laws of Pharisee as much as possible. A member of he was a member of the right church, you might say, at that time. As we'd say sometimes, the legalistics today. Boy, my religion, look what we have at this church. I'm a member of the right church. Zealous defend all the word and defend everything of his religion. But then he says, you know, he persecuted the church. I mean, because he says, listen, I'm right, they're wrong. That's exactly what's wrong with the Islamic faith today. You know why they want to kill us? Because they believe they're right and we're wrong. That's why they want to kill us. And they believe Jesus Christ said there'll come a day whenever people try to kill you and think they're doing me a favor, did it not? What's happening today in our world? We at that time right now. People, they're going to kill us. And you know what they're doing? Man, God's going to help us. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to have all these virgin ladies. We're going to have it made in heaven. All your family are going to get supernatural took care of. All you got to do is just kill one of these Satan worshipers, which is us, the Gentiles. There'll come a day when people will kill you and think they're doing God a favor. Well, we're approaching that day right now. Paul, at that time, done the same thing. It's been around a long time. Did y'all know that? Paul would have been the same thing today. We look back on old Paul's life, and he believed what he believed in so heartily and so zealous in it. He'd done the same thing. He'd go to strange town and call out people. They'd give him names of people that was Christians, and he'd call them out and have them put to death. Because he believed in what he was doing so much. You see, an outward religion really won't save you. Pride of reputation. Touching the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. Paul said, you know, or I'm blameless. What he said, not sinless. He said, I was blameless. In fact, no one would really point a finger at him and say, don't you look what old Paul there. He's not a liar. I'm going to tell you what, he's not a thief. He's not adulterous. He's not a killer. I mean, they could point their finger at Paul, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him for blameless according to the law. Verse 7 it says now, but what things were gained to me, those counted loss for Christ. So Paul looked at his life and he said, well, you want to brag about your goodness? You start witnessing somebody and they want to brag about how good they are. Are they good enough to go to heaven? You just carry them to Paul's life and show them these verses of scriptures. Though Paul was above all of them. And he says, you know, I count all that lost this day. Lost. Paul said, that's just total loss. He said, did it make me godly or did it bring me to Jesus Christ? He said, learn this lesson. When you go to witness people and say, man, we're just good. All the good work I do, this self-righteousness. You know, it's hard to witness somebody if you think they're doing good. The earthquake over at Haiti's people, it's a terrible, terrible thing that's happened to that country. And, you know, it's all going to be an ongoing thing. It's not going to be over in a few months. And we see with a lot of movie stars, a lot of people that is giving a lot of money to that country because they need to help them, and we all do. But you see, there's a lot of movie stars who don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they believe in giving. You see, they believe in giving. It makes them feel good. They might give millions of dollars. But just because they give $1 million to those people that really needs help, that don't mean that's going to gain them any salvation of the Lord. I mean, it's good they do give. It's good humanitarian thing they do give. We all ought to give. Our country ought to give because it's a thing to do. But just because you give, it don't mean it's going to make you not one bit closer to Jesus Christ if you're already lost, because they depend on their goodness. They believe on their charity work. They believe on doing things that would maybe merit them a little closer to God, that I'm worth it. Now, you see, I give $1 million to go buy aid for that country. I'm so much better than that person down there. They ain't give nothing. God, look what I've done. Look what I've give. You see, that don't count them nothing. That's what they should have done anyway. But that don't gain them any ground with God. Paul says, I just want to show you about this old man of mine. What all of us can say tonight. I was a bankrupt old man. That old man, that old nature, I was bankrupt. Nothing I could do. And I think we could all look on that side, that debit side, and see that, you know, it was all lost for Christ. Then we move in and see the wealth of this new man. Good things is a bad thing when it comes to a substitute for the best thing. As I just said, someone wants to give, wants to help. That good thing becomes a bad thing when it's a substitute for the best thing. You fix to go on a trip, you're going to pack you a bag, maybe you're going on a camping trip, and you got your backpack, and you put you a knife, and you put you some matches, you put you a blanket, you put you some canned goods, and so on. Put everything in your knapsack. And just suppose that you get on an airplane, and you go into a place that you're going to go camping. Something happened to that plane, and they say, okay, it's going down, and there you have before you a parachute or that backpack. Now, that backpack is good. But you just grab that backpack and jump out of that airplane. You see, the best thing is that parachute. Nothing wrong with the backpack. And there's nothing wrong with helping people. But the best thing is Christ Jesus. You better get that parachute first. If you think, you know what, you're going to jump out of that airplane with that backpack is good. You know, we're giving is good. Doing good for people is good. But first thing is most important. And that good thing is Jesus Christ. As you think about that, the worst form of badness may be human goodness when human goodness becomes a substitute of the new birth. Where a lot of people's at today, their human goodness is the worst form of badness. But to them, it becomes a substitute of the new birth because they think they're good enough. And that goodness is caused the badness. And they cannot be saved that way. A lot of people will not hold that I'm lost. It's hard for people to admit. It's so hard for people to admit that I'm lost. Oh, when you witness people, they do not understand that they're sinners and on the way to hell. They do not want to admit it because they think they're doing something good for God. When I witness to children, you know, first thing I ask them, have you sinned? And you'd be surprised, a lot of times they'll tell me I hadn't sinned. Well, you know, when they do that, that tells me that they're not ready to be saved. No matter what age they are, until they understand to start with that they are sinners. When they realize they're sinners, they need to be saved. But until then, if they don't understand that they are sinners, they don't need to be saved to start with because they're already safe. They're safe. When they understand they are sinners, they need to be saved because they're lost at that time. So that's the age of accountability, and no one knows exactly what age it is, but when that person comes to that knowledge that they are sinners, they need to be saved. People don't really like to realize they're lost. Religious church members, as I said, you might give, you have a name on a church roll, but not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you know, that you must be what? Born again. Not no special edition of a Christian, but that's the only Christian they are, is born again Christians. I don't have anything, Paul says, I didn't have anything to offer the Lord. That song, I don't know who sings it, in my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I brought nothing to Jesus Christ, did y'all? I didn't bring nothing. I didn't have anything to give him. I didn't have nothing. God says, you know, you agree with what God says. All of your goodness is what? It's filthy rags. I had nothing to bring Jesus Christ. I realize that. When you realize that, you realize that you are a bankrupt sinner. And people realize that by sharing the Word of God and the Spirit of God, let people know, you know, that they are lost and you don't have anything to bring them. Paul is what he's saying, I count all this for loss for the Lord. Whenever I was going to school as a kid, we'd have a little saying going, if you found something, losers, weepers, finders, keepers. Y'all ever heard that? Whenever y'all was a child? Well, Paul turned this thing around, and you know what he says? Keepers are weepers. Losers are finders. Again, keepers are weepers. Losers are finders. You keep your goodness, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be a weeper one day. But if you lose all this old man, all this stuff that Paul says don't mean nothing, he said, then you're going to find it in Christ Jesus. Christ, Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall find it. Paul says, I'm as willing to turn from my self-righteousness and from my sin to Jesus Christ. Then this wealth of this new man in verse 89, oh, it's so great. This sort of calls you to just have glory in the Lord. The wealth of this new man in verse 89, I've done read. You doubtless, as I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them dung, just old trash dump, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said he gained wealth by the knowledge of Christ. Not knowing about him, but he says to know him. To know him. As I said, what you used to believe, you believed about Jesus Christ. Whenever you're saved, then you believe not only about him, but you also know him. I hope you know him tonight. Do you know him? But he said, and fast tonight now, he says, you know, this new knowledge of Christ. And we gain fellowship of Christ. Be found in him. The safest place. You know, there's a lot of people not in Christ Jesus. Now, they on a church roll. But I'm going to tell you, they far from in Christ Jesus. There's so many people today that think they're saved. What Christ say to them? Depart from me. Lord, look what I've done. I come to church occasionally. Lord, look what I've done in your name for years. Look what I've done. I mean, I got my name on two or three churches. I moved from here. I got my name on two or three. Yeah, but he says, depart from me. Yeah, but Lord, I give occasionally, and I come here, and I do this. But he says, depart from me. There's so many people, I'm telling you, that their life just don't show that they're saved. Just depart from me, because, you see, they haven't gained this fellowship in Christ. And if we hadn't gained this fellowship of Christ, we are none of him. Be found in him. You see, there's a difference, because when the bird is in the air is in the bird. Then when a fish is in the water is in the fish. You in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you. And you tell me that won't make a difference in people's lives? You tell me they won't, the Bible says when this happens to you, you start hating the things that you once loved, and you start loving the things you once hated. Why do we come on a cold night to hear the church, to hear a bald-headed man keep going on and on about the Word of God? He says, you know what the Word of God says. People don't understand that. It's not about what I'm saying tonight, but because of Christ Jesus in you. People, a lot of people has no care or concern about meeting with God's people. Whatever God says, what did God say about that? We gain wealth, the knowledge of him, to know him. And then it says, you know, Paul says, I exchanged all these set of rules for a friend. I changed the law to a Lord. He says, you know, I came to Jesus Christ alone. I come to the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses. If you were saved, I'm going to tell you what, you came to the garden alone. There was nobody else there but you and Jesus, no matter where you met him at. And you had nothing to offer him. You had to realize, it's what all people come to realize, it's saved. That God, I got nothing. I come to you alone, and I want to tell you, I know that I'm damned and doomed and on my way to hell because I have nothing to pay you back for my life that I've lived without Christ. And buddy, it's the mercy of God that saved you. And it's the mercy of God that saved me. And it'd be the mercy of God to save the next person that's saved. And also he said, I gained righteousness through Christ Jesus. In Romans, I don't know, I even have time to read Romans, but he's Romans chapter 4 on down, it's talking about righteous being imputed to us. He said, I imputed righteous. I look at my list, and Paul gives all this list, the pride of everything he had, and then comes over here and looks at the side now, what it has in Christ Jesus. I count all this side here, but loss. I count all this side gain in Christ Jesus. I lost all this, but I gained all this. How do you explain this? Well, I'm standing in Jesus' shoes, and Jesus is standing in my shoes. That's what it means. Jesus is standing in my shoes, and I'm standing in Jesus' shoes. Choose you this day, Joshua said. It's a choice of self-righteousness or God's righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, Isaiah said, though your sin be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ like that, did you realize, looking back upon your life, that every blunder that I ever made, every dark spot upon my soul, every blemish and every stain upon this old life that I've lived, across my soul, when I come to Jesus Christ, He washed it white as snow. Can you tell someone that? Tell them what you used to be and tell them what you are today, because by Jesus Christ. Could you say, really, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, if nothing else, just for salvation, that I know, not that I believe, but I know that I'm one of these days, I'm going to have a better place. And what's really going to count 100 years from now of what you are, what you got tonight? What really going to count? The time you spend your money on businesses and our work and everything. We got to work, but what do we really spend our money on? Well, the things that really count is going to be salvation and telling people about Jesus. So go out this week and praise God and thank God. I talked to someone, I believe it was one day this week, you know, about it was down and out. But you see, start looking at the good things that God's given us. And he said, I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I told old Marshall on the dead as he was looking up and some pain in his chest, he said, I told him, you know, the Lord don't have no more problem keeping you alive here on this hospital bed as you do when you're sleeping in your bed at night. Oh, I know there's a little difference now because I've been in the hospital beds. And it's a little different when somebody can stand by your bedside and say that to you. You still have this little bit of worry, a little bit of fear. But I'm going to tell you, by the mercy of God, when you go to leave this earth, I'm going to tell you there's going to be grace that you've never had before, that you've never experienced, the type of grace that God's going to give those that love Him. And that is a time of death, our last enemy. I don't believe that I fear it when it comes. I believe God will give me the grace. Now, I have feared death. You let that old heart go to messing up and I'll start getting fear. Will you not? Will you not? Yeah, I say, call the ambulance. Yeah, I say, let's get in the hospital. I'll do all that. And I have a little fear that comes over me. But you see, I'm here. God says, yeah, all that fear. You remember back when you went to the hospital, this, that, and the other? He said, you weren't dying. Yeah, I know, Lord, but I felt like it. Yeah, but he said, you weren't dying. He says, you wait till you're dying. Then you won't have them fear. You won't have it. Oh, yeah, I believe we'll have fear running up to that dying. But that moment, that time of passing over from this life to the other life, I believe even before that we leave this earth, that I can prove it in the Bible, I believe there will be a beautiful, beautiful sweetness that will come across your soul and your heart even before that you leave this earth, before your spirit leaves the body, if you still have your right senses. He says, I'll be with you. Now, what I gained in Christ? Wealth of this new man. This wealth is a whole lot better than American dollar today. You see, they claim that gold is the best currency because they claim the government can't make no more gold. You see it on television? But I'm going to tell you, gold is not the best currency. God is the best currency. God, through Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Go out and tell someone this week
how proud that you are to be a Christian. How proud you are what Christ has done for you. Yeah, you may be going through some hard times, but I'm going to tell you, Christ says, I'll be with you. Can you do that? Don't forget to pray for those that's lost of loved ones, ones we have on the hospital and the prayer box. And to witness to someone this week and share Jesus Christ, invite someone to be with us Sunday. They ought to be some visitors with us every week. As many people we have at this church, if you just invite one visitor, I believe some will be here next week. They might hear the word of God. It won't be what we do. It'll be what Christ is going to do, that they might be saved. And that's all that's going to count and matter, that people are saved. All this other stuff is not going to amount to a whole lot 100 years from now. Maybe that person that you led to the Lord, or that person that you invited, maybe that person that you prayed for, come to know Jesus Christ and their life might be changed. That's the only thing that's going to count 100 years from now. As we stand this hour and be dismissed.